Yeah. It looks like we're all here ready to learn. This quarter's lesson is, we all know, is Faith Hall of Fame. And my lesson tonight's title is going to be Other Heroes of Faith. We're going to be discussing Hebrews chapter 11, 32, and 34. And it's kind of like the people that we don't really talk about much. And, you know, we just discussed in chapters or verses 3 through 31, the 10 heroes of faith. And in this one, we're going to talk about six people that, you know, really don't get mentioned a lot. And those names are Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. I think I said that correct. Jephthah, right? I was telling myself the whole time when I got up here, say that name right for some reason. And we have David. We of course, we know a little bit about David. And then we have Samuel, a prophet, and then a couple others that are mentioned in Scripture. We're going to go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32-34. We're going to read that out loud. Or I am. If anybody wants to read, then come up here and do it. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. And it says right there in the beginning, it says he doesn't have time to go through and discuss all of the heroes of faith because there is so many of them. And the first four, Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, are faith among the judges. And they are all located in the book of Judges. And I'm going to go through and I'm going to give a brief background of what kind of events that took place in their lives and the adversity they overcame and the heroic acts that they took place in. And we're going to start off with Gideon. We know he defeated the Midianites. He was a judge and a military leader. He started out with an army of 32,000 men, and when God came up to him and said, you know, you have 32,000 men, but I can't deliver the Midianites to you with this amount of men, so we're going to have to send some away. So he told people, he said, if you want to go home, there's no regret, you know, you're not going to regret leaving. So that eliminated 22,000 people, leaves them with 10,000. God still came to Gideon and said, this is still too many men. I cannot deliver you to the Midianites. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take these men to the water, and we're going to have them drink. The people who drink like a dog, we're going to send them home, and the people who drink with their hands, we're going to keep. And that narrowed the group down to 300 men, just a small army. And I know myself, facing an army which is so strong and so powerful, which is led by the general Sisera. I want to say that's right, Sisera. And he was known for a powerful, mighty general. And to take 300 men into a battle with that many people and that powerful of an army, they had like 900 chariots. And it was just a strong army. But it took his courage and his faith in God to take these men into battle. And he took them in and he defeated the army and delivered the Israelites back to the Lord. The second guy is Barak. He's not mentioned much in the Scripture. He's mentioned actually only twice. He's mentioned in Judges 4 and 5 and Hebrews 11, 32, which is the Scripture we just read. And he faced the Canaanites. All right, I guess I misread something. Barak faced the mighty army. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. Gideon faced the Midianites, who still had a big army. So let's backtrack a little bit. forget what you just heard. I got ahead of myself. Barak is one who was asked to face General Sisera. And he's like I said, he's only mentioned twice, and he has to face the Canaanites. And he took 10,000 men into that battle, and he came out victorious. And the reason he did that, because he took an army of 10,000 against a strong army, and took his faith in the Lord and to be successful. The Israelites won a smashing victory over much larger armies because Barak was not concerned about Sisera's power and the Canaanites' strength, and because he acted by faith in God's power and strength. And that's important to know, is that it's important here, is that he acted by faith for his power and strength. Samson is also mentioned in here, and it may be a surprise that he's mentioned, you know, because he did have, he wasn't remembered for his faith or his acts of God. He was always doing what he wanted to do. He just did whatever he wanted to do. He sinned a lot. But what separates Samson from that is he is remembered by his physical strength, and much more than that, he knows that God is the source of his power. So that little bit of faith gave God the strength to just use him in a way. And I want to go back to Judges 14, verse 4. There's a story about Samson's marriage. Let me get back to this real quick. So Samson, he wanted revenge on the Philistines. But before all this took place, the revenge that he wanted, he found a Philistine wife. And he asked his parents if he could marry this woman. And they were, they were skeptical about it because he wanted to marry his own people. But it says that the reason he wanted this wife, and it says in verse 4, it says, his parents did not know that this was for the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at the time they were ruling over Israel. So God, when I read this, I was thinking, well, God used Samson to free his people, you know, because they were being ruled over by the Philistines. So God presented an occasion for Samson to seek the revenge to overcome the Philistines. The occasion that was presented in front of him was that his wife was given away by his father, her father, to another man, and it kind of upset him. He talked to the Philistine people, and they came and killed his wife, so he wanted the revenge. But what I think God was really doing was using that situation to overcome the Philistines. You know, there's just different reasons, different ways, and unique ways to present itself. And I think that these reasons are put in the Bible just to give us hope, you know, that these unique ways are, you know, just because he was a bad person, you know, he still had the faith in Christ. Just as we sin every day, we still have faith. The fourth judge is Jephthah. He was born of a prostitute. He was rejected by his family and neglected of his nation, but yet God used him to bring a great deliverance in Israel. His people came to him after they rejected him, pushed him out of their life because he was different. But he had faith in God, and he knew that that's what he needed to do, was go protect his people. So he went back, and he became their leader. He asked God, he prayed to God, and he said, you know, please help me overcome this. Please be with us and let us become victorious in this battle. When I was reading this, something caught my eye. Like he said that he will do something in return, and it says that he would sacrifice or offer up a burnt offering of his daughter to the Lord. But we all know that the Lord doesn't approve of human sacrifice. That's just something that he did, which was a foolish act. So, you know, just it's another example that Jephthah is not perfect. None of us are perfect. And we're still used, as long as we have faith. He still had faith in God. He just, I guess, had a misunderstanding. The next, we have the faith among the kings, which is, in this scripture, there's only one king mentioned, and it's David. And David obviously stands out as one of the great people of faith in the Old Testament. The evidence of his faith begins when he was young. As a small boy, he tended sheep. He killed lions and bears. And when taking on the then he took on the giant Goliath just with a slingshot. When all the Israelites were running and hiding and being cowardly, he stood up, being small, against a giant and an army of thousands. And he had the faith in God, and he went up there and he stood to the giant, and he said, "This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." And that's out of 1 Samuel 17:46. None of these heroes of faith were perfect, and David certainly was not. But God called him a man after my own heart, and that's in Acts 13:22. David is a good representative of the kings of Israel who lived by faith and trusted God to do his will through them. It's just amazing what just a little bit of faith in God can do. It can go a long way. I might be going a little too fast here. We have faith, and then the next thing he talks about in the scripture is the prophets. He doesn't mention all the prophets. We all know that prophets are the heroes, are still heroes of faith because all the good works they've done. But he does mention Samuel by name. Samuel is unique in this list. He doesn't fight people in battles. He doesn't go to war with the Canaanites, the Ammonites, the Philistine armies. He doesn't do that. He actually has, I would think, a more difficult task. He fights continual battles against Israel, the people, their idolatry and immorality. I think it's harder for a person to go up against his own family, his own friends, and confront them about the things that need to be fixed or attended to. Does anybody agree the same? Can you go up to your family and friends? Sometimes I try, but it's just like they push me away and try again, and you're like, "Well, am I stepping on your toes?" I've got some friends that I've hung out with in college. I still hang out today. They're in my wedding. I'm in a couple of weddings this month, or at least one wedding this month for one of them. And you know, they've seen the changes in my life, and they've talked to me about that. And it's hard for me to confront them about it. And I've tried, and just to tell them about the task I've taken, the steps I've taken in Christ, and I kind of feels like I am like Samuel. You know what I mean? Even though I'm not a prophet, but it's hard to get out there and talk. Back in Hebrews 11:32, let's find it again. It says in here that the prophets cannot all be mentioned, and like I said, that all the prophets are heroes of faith, and they're faced with the opposition inside of Israel and outside of Israel. And they had an unpopular task of delivering God's truth to people often, and that often did not want to hear it, such as some people you come across through in your lifetime or your days throughout work or, you know, being at home. But they courageously accepted the task that God gave them. They, even though they didn't fight with a sword or, you know, go into a battle, they still fought a battle every day. And the prophets who preached the word, as well as the soldiers who wielded the sword, are serving God by faith and seeking to do his will. That's all that, you know, that's what ties it all together, is that everybody's seeking to do God's will, but we all do it in different ways. And we're going to go back also to the scripture again, and it says about the quenched, or the who shut the mouths of the lions. We know that's Daniel. And then the quenched the fury of the flames. And that is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they went to the fiery furnace and they came out unharmed. And I think the purpose of mentioning these mighty acts is to show that no matter what the situation, the key, and this is the key, to overcoming evil is faith in God.
Wouldn't you say that these are, the reason I love reading the Old
and reading, like when I was talking to my wife Kaylin, I was reading, and I was like, man, this just reminds me so much of me, even though, like, it's just my past. But God has worked through me to spread the word to people. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, as long as you have that desire and faith and need and to want to learn about God and know God and have faith in God, you know. And it is important to keep in mind, and the purpose of this entire chapter is that God wants us to trust Him today, just as these great men and women of faith trusted Him in the past. Times may have changed, but God has not changed. He still acts in response to the faith of His people. And that, I think that's important to know that, you know, even though the times are changing, we're getting all these new technology things, and our minds are being filled with movies and video games and anything that could just distract our minds from God, He's not going to change for us. He's going to stay the same person He was yesterday and millions of years ago, however long that was. Exactly right. And kind of to relate to that, I read the book, The Five Love Languages, and I know it's the love languages, but come on. But it mentions something about an empty tank. If your love, if your wife has an empty tank or you have an empty tank, there's something that you need to fill that. So if you have an empty tank at home and you feel like you're spiritually not there, then read the scripture and fill your tank back up. I just came up with that top of my head. Thanks to you, though. I remember a couple lessons back, maybe it was a Sunday, Ken was talking about, or it might not even have been a lesson, I don't remember. But he said something about faith. We talk to people that don't have faith in Christ or faith in the Bible at all. But they have, like he said, he has faith. They have faith in the waiter when you're at a restaurant ordering your food. You know, you trust them that they're going to bring back something that hasn't been tampered with or spit in. You know what I mean? And or you have faith in your car that it's going to run, get you from point A to point B and B to A again. You know, that's all these guys had. They just had the faith in God. Even though you can't see it, you don't know what's going to happen, you got to have the faith in God. Let me refer back, you know, Gideon was a timid farmer hiding in a wine press when God called him to service. You know, he was just minding his business, and he had faith in God to get up and just leave his spot and go do what God asked him to do. Jephthah was a rejected son. How many people can come back to their family if they just shun you away? Not me. That'd be tough. But he had faith in God. He knew that he had a better purpose in life, and they needed his help. And if they needed his help, then he needs to come and help them. You know. Samson was morally weak. He fell prey to temptation. He fell to temptation day in and day out, just like we do day in and day out with work. I work in construction. I'm not knocking construction, but there is a lot of bad things that happen in construction. There's a lot of foul language. That's a given. And it, sometimes I fall into temptation on that. You know, I start saying things that they say, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? And not only that, I get frustrated. You know, sometimes things don't work the way you want it. Like nowadays, I'm an electrician. I wired up a building. These lights, they're operated off computers now, and I'm like, how does this work? And I go to flip on the switch, and nothing comes on. I'm like, oh my goodness, I've never seen this before. And you get all frustrated. Why can't they just keep it a switch? Yet because of faith, God used them to do mighty deeds. God's people today need to understand that there is still time for more great deeds of faith. There are untapped resources in our lives just waiting to be released if we will act in faith. The purpose of this chapter is Faith's Hall of Fame is to challenge us today to live by faith, just as these champions of faith did centuries ago. So we need to just realize that, you know, they probably had it 10 times harder than we do now. I mean, hands down, they had it 10 times harder. and they were filled with temptation. You know, this is when the age when they were going, you know, is God real? Is God not? You know, they've just heard about this. We know He is. We know because we have faith in Him, and we just need to put forth the effort, just as these men did, and step forward and take the responsibility and just have the faith to spread His gospel. Does anybody have any comments, questions? Yes, and it's. I was talking to Ken about this. Who would put this kind of story in a Bible or in a book for you to just think, oh, this didn't happen? You know, like they didn't just come up with this. I don't think. I think it, you know, they put this there for a reason to make you believe. You know, they're not going to fill a book full of great things that, you know, this happened to this person. He received this and she did this and he got that. This is something that's happened to people that gone wrong and still kept their faith in God. You know? We wouldn't believe, that's for sure. You know, because everything's too perfect, and we know that we see all around us that things are going wrong day after day, minute after minute. And Samson, I think, is a big part of the Bible because it shows you that, you know, he does, and we do make mistakes, and he made many, I mean, no sin's greater than the other sin, but he made some pretty bad choices. You know, and it all comes back that this, it gives you hope. It gives the people, like, it gives the sinners hope that there is a God. It gives them the faith that there is a God. That's right. Did y'all hear what he said? God will, He will make you be what He wants. You know, He's going to give you what you need to do what you need to do if you just follow Me. You just got to have the faith. And God's, He's a doer. He does things. He doesn't just say He's going to do things. God's a doer. That's the way I like to look at that. Any other questions? Comments? Remarks? Made me cry up here, man. You know, and heroes are made, you know, we could all be heroes to somebody in some point in life. You know, we could have helped the struggles for some young person that, or anybody that's had problems in their life. And you could have just been that, you know, in that right spot, that right place at the right time. And when they came to you, you just, God gives you the words that need to be said. And even though you've never heard of this, you don't know what's coming, but I truly believe that whenever, like tonight, I was so nervous coming up here, but I feel that He's given me the strength and the words of wisdom to just to get up here and talk, even though I don't even know what I'm saying, but I do. I got a good crowd. I got everybody laughing. I like it. I know it's 7:45, but I'm pretty much done. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come up here and speak. I appreciate it. And we're dismissed. Early night. Get to go home and watch some TV now.